Can you survive until dawn? To celebrate being able to buy and rent until dawn, Sony Pictures have challenged us to see if we can make it until dawn this Friday the 13th with a horror movie marathon.
Well, hello, all you nerds and monster fiends, and thank you for joining us for a very special duo episode.
Duo.
Crossover episode of the Nerdy / Monsters Up North podcast.
Friends, sorry, coming together.
Sorry, I got really thrown off. I sneezed.
The silent sneeze got Sammy again.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Welcome. We're here.
Yeah, we are. I'm joined by someone very special.
Where is she?
Where is she? She's not that small.
We are joined by bleeding Marvelous's very own Dan. Say hello, Dan.
Hi.
Oh, I was expecting this whole little saying that we normally get from Sam and Dan. But yes, I feel a part of it now. I feel special. But yes.
You're part of the fiends.
Oh, the fiends.
Can't all be special. There's not enough room for this much special in one room.
Yes. So we have been... Can't get your words out now. You can tell it's not even live and I'm messing up. But yes, tonight is a special episode. We are being invited to a marathon, apparently, like a challenge of it, where there's 13 movies, where we weren't going to get through 13 movies because that would have been ridiculous. We've got asked to talk about a few choice picks out of the 13 and to talk about Until Dawn, which we've all watched and enjoyed in our own little ways at times, I guess. So let's start off with the disclaimer, Sammy. So, yes.
Okay.
You forgot about that one, didn't you?
I did. It's all this crossover and I'm confused where I am right now. So, everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page. You can join us on the Nerdy Up North Discord or comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So, let's keep it fun. Keep it kind and keep the toxic behaviour out of her nerdism. Hit it, Dan.
Am I allowed to say naughty words?
Yes.
Don't be a dick.
Go.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation before. I was like, yeah, Sony's come to us to ask us to promote this. I've sent them links to our YouTube and what we do. So if they've done the homework and watched what we do, they know we're filthy northerners and, like I say, our little adopted northerner Dan as well, because we're trying to turn you into a Macam, shall we say?
Easy there now.
she can only say a one northern word.
No, I got two under my belt now.
Go on then.
You got knee bosh, right?
Oh yeah. What's the other one? Laddie.
Thank you.
Water.
Yeah, you're Geordie Macam. I'm talking about. I encompass all of. I am all encompassing. I like to.
She is
on the northern.
She is all the north. She takes it on. But yes, we took on the challenge and we, watched Until Dawn and the other movies as well. So before we talk about like the movie that you can rent and buy at your own home, which again that goes on sale on the 10th of June, so you'll be able to buy it after watching this episode. That's what you should be doing. There's a few movies to talk about first, so which one do you want to talk about first there, Sammy?
I'm gonna go with Don't Breathe.
Right, okay. Now this,
because I'm interested to know about this one.
Right, this is brutal. Might be for me being a softy. I think it is, as I said, one of the more violent movies, which isn't supernatural either. Mm-hmm. It's like a home invasion movie goes wrong, very, very wrong. So what I like about this, and again, don't know if you guys agree or disagree, is they start off, you think it's going to be going one way, and you think, oh, this is going to be a man defending his house. And there's a switch halfway through because there's nothing quite right with the guy. Something quite right. You get a feeling from him that this guy's seen some shit and been through some shit. And halfway through the movie, you find out it's not all what it's made out to be. It flips the script quite literally on its head. But the only thing that about this movie that kind of throws me, you don't know who to cheer for. Because everyone kind of makes bad decisions.
Okay.
There's no hero in this film, in my opinion. There's no hero. Mm-hmm. They're all, in their own way, they're all as bad as each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed by Fede Alvarez, who also did the Evil Dead reboot. He is also found on a lot of the new documentaries that talk about new movies coming up, you know, like In Search of Darkness and things like that. They interview Fede quite a lot on those things as well. So it's he's a new kind of guy that's come in the last sort of 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed new blood directorially for sure and a new outlook on horror. I think going into Don't Breathe, they had a certain amount of expectation for something a bit new and a bit...
Yeah.
Unexpected, and I think that's the one thing that he does a good job of with Breathe. The way they handled it by taking somebody who we all knew at this point, because the majority of people have seen Avatar,
mm-hmm.
so they're going into Don't Breathe, the guy who plays the army veteran,
Stephen Lang,
you know him as the big hench guy from the first Avatar, so he plays the main guy, the veteran, the blind veteran in this. And then you've got Jane, I can't remember her surname. She plays the lead girl in this, Rocky.
And Levy.
Have two other boy characters that back her up. And they proceed to pull a home invasion for reasons that I think to some degree are, for her, are...
She likes to think it's justified, but... When does Grand Larceny become justified? But the way they kind of played out as well, it's a very small cast. It's a very tight ensemble. The guy who plays Alex, you've seen him in a few different things. He was in one of the Scream movies. He was it that that Netflix TV show that went big during lockdown?
Which one?
It's called
Monsters. He wasn't in that, I don't think.
No, he was. Oh, I'm trying to think of the name of it now.
What's his name?
It's called
As Alex.
Dylan Minnette.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, he's in. 13 Reasons Why.
That's right. That's the one that went blew up on Netflix.
It's really impressive
to me. Yeah,
the that's tone too sad.
It doesn't sound a happy film, but he's kind of like the lovesick puppies is in. Infatuated with Rocky, but he's the one that kind of has the smarts. He's the one that kind of gets them in the areas. It's like, let's not steal over 10,000, so then we can't be going on to the next level. And they've decided to pick this house because I think it's an easy target, and shit does go wrong. And it becomes almost like everything that you can think of that could go wrong, it goes wrong very sharply, and he makes the right decision. He's like, I'm getting out of here, this is all wrong, bad juju, bad feelings. And Rocky is kind of like, no, we're doing this. And even when shit goes wrong, she still makes the wrong decisions in this, which these type of movies as well, it's difficult because this is always like in certain horror films, you want to cheer for someone, you want to think, I want this person to survive, or I want to think, you don't want bad things to happen. Because of the decisions they make, it's kind of like, oh, not to say that they deserve it, but it's kind of like you're making every bad decision, but it's intense. You're watching it. And when you go in the basement, that's when things really do get quite icky and not very nice at all.
I do love a film where you want everybody to die, though.
Right, all right.
You don't always need empathy for a character, especially not in this situation where everybody's as equally horrific as the next.
Yeah.
The The thing I do like about three of the four films, other than the main film we're about to talk to, they've all got a common thread because they've all got actors that are thread through the three of these movies. Mm-hmm. So the guy who plays the lead nasty kid in this that persuades her to do the robbery, he is also the priest that works with Russell Crowe in Pope's Exorcist.
Right.
And he is also, and she in Don't Breathe is also the lead character in Evil Dead, which, you know, the reboot. So there's like this common thread of the actors all working through the three of the four films, which I thought was pretty cool. And I didn't notice, I've seen Don't Breathe so many times, and I've seen The Pope's Exorcist a couple of times, and I didn't realise that the guy who played the priest was the guy in Don't Breathe. I think it's because he plays different ages. He's also the guy who's in Penny Dreadful, City of Angels.
Right,
he's
all right. The lead
detective in that. So he's, I think he's British as well. I think I could be wrong. Dan doesn't have notes today. I know he's got a lot of good parts. Like I love how he. He's a bit of a comedian. Like he did a really good job. I would never have known that they were the two same. It was the same actor playing those parts.
Didn't notice it at all as well. I think it was called Money, but it is a stereotypical gang. You've got like the greedy one. You've got the one that needs help, and you've got the one that kind of likes here. I'm doing this because I love you type thing. And he's probably the most sympathetic of all of them when everything does kind of kick off and. It goes through as well, so it's always quite interesting. There's a false like death, so your things that you kind of think someone's happened, and but it's like smoke and mirrors. It doesn't always show you what's happening. Then you look away and you think, oh, this is what's going to happen, but it doesn't. But the violence in this as well, it's quite like I know, like we've seen violence film and gory films. I think it's with almost like a realistic vibe to the movie. It hits a little bit harder at times, especially when he kills one of the first people. It's so sudden and just not out the blue because you expect something to happen, but it's just like the shock factor. And then each fall, and again, Sammy, not to scare you, there is a dog in this, but nothing happens to the dog. That's the main thing.
I would have told you straight away. I think the thing is, the twist is the thing that makes this film. And the twist is the thing that you, when you actually realise at the very, sort of the last kind of final act, where he explains what it's all about and why he did it, you actually feel physically sick. That's the only response that's required.
The only emotion that should be happening.
At the end of that film, if you don't feel some way uncomfortable, ill, queasy, then I mean, it was a kind of like an oh shit moment, and you know, you don't see that coming. No. I will say we did a very good job of like keeping the mystique of that until he says the reveal at the end, and you're just like, whoa, okay, we knew you were messed up, but.
Yeah. Just for anyone listening as well, and we didn't say this at the start, we are going to try and keep these movies very much spoiler free. So, trying to describe things that's happened without giving away just giving away too much is very difficult for me. I don't know if you're going to use feel the same.
Well, yeah, because when we do episodes on Nerdy Up North or on Monsters Up North, it is spoiler filled. We're talking about everything. So yeah, it's going to be really difficult to kind of pull it back. But hey, we were set a challenge.
We are.
And not just in more ways than one. So.
But yes, we'll get there. I would recommend this movie. I would think just for the uncomfortable factor. And if you like non-supernatural or non-monster. Well, because there is monsters in this movie, but like more human monsters. So sometimes that is scarier than... like, say, these big demons or horror things that can come at you. But
question, is it more psychological horror or is it thriller horror? Or where does it fall in the category of horror?
Action horror.
Action horror, okay.
Running around and hiding and kind of Yeah, it's more sort of that. There's lots of running, even though it's based in one small space, really.
Yeah.
It's cleverly done. I think I can't see they could have gone anywhere else with it. Like, like you watch a scene and you think to yourself, oh, they could have done that. I mean, they could have written off the whole end of the film, to be fair. And I don't think anybody would have minded that they didn't have that information that they're left with by the end of it. But like, yeah, I think I don't have any empathy up until the very end scene, where you think, oh, he shouldn't have done that. And then that's about it. All the characters are as bad as each other for whatever reasons they're claiming that they were doing it for. Still
No.
doesn't justify the film at all. But yeah, I'd definitely give it a watch, because if you're in the mood for something that is more of a, it is more, I'd say, psychological in the respect of that it is human based, and it's there's no sort of like supernatural, there's no like slasher killer, there's no ghost like fate figure, it is what it is. It's people being bastards.
People being human, just the worst thing.
Yeah, pretty bad.
So,
Okay, interesting. So if it's not in the slasher genre, let's jump into the slasher genre
very
with
well then.
Thanksgiving,
Yes, the movie
which I
that
can't
was,
talk about. I'll not be silent on this one.
the movie that was made from a Grindhouse trailer, which is just
Which
crazy.
blew my mind when we did this last year. Last year?
It was Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We tried the timers. Yeah, when we did, I had no idea when I was doing the research that this was something that came from Grindhouse. That came from, the likes of it was.
Machete.
Yeah, exactly. It absolutely blew my mind. What really blows my mind with this movie is that Patrick Dempsey can pull off horror. Because I have only ever known him as Derek Shepherd as a doctor. So to be able to come into the horror genre, I was pretty shocked. I was quite, oh,
Oh,
okay.
it's not his first footsteps in horror.
Scream 3. He played.
Oh, touche. Yeah. Yeah. I forget about him.
Because the whole thing with Mark Kincaid and the fact that did she marry Mark Kincaid? Is she coming back? Patrick says he's not in Seven because it's not him, and everybody's like,
He's the only one who's not coming back.
They even talked about Parker Posey coming back. Like, what the fuck's with that? Like, I'm sure she was dead. There was no coming back for Parker Posey. Sorry.
Oh, crikey.
it's one of those things where it's a different look for him. And I will say, when we talked about it on the pod, I was most impressed by the amount of effort and time he went into putting into that Massachusetts accent. I don't know why I have such a soft spot. I think it's because I do go to Boston a lot, and then spend a lot of time in Massachusetts. I mean, that's where we're getting married. So it's kind of like a really comfortable place. And they do speak like that. I mean, I know if you're from there, you've probably got faults with the accent, and you're probably thinking, oh God, we don't sound like that. It's the pack and
Pack
it's the
a
yeah, it's kind of the whole Seth MacFarlane, Rhode Island.
I'm sure we did that. Smart car, smart pack.
So Sammy's getting us cancelled for doing accents already, but that's fine.
No, it's an advert that John Krasinski and Chris Evans did for Smart Parkin, and this talk in this really thick Boston accent. Smart pack, car pack. This movie is, I thoroughly enjoyed this film. I
Great.
thought for a modern day slasher, the kills in it were absolutely fantastic. The aesthetic in it, like, I wanted to live in that town. Like, I really like, I could quite happily see myself living there. The aesthetic of it's perfect. The kills are perfect.
They are ridiculous. They are typical Eli Roth ridiculousness. However, as soon as you realize it's Eli Roth that wrote it, you're like, right, okay, yep, I know what I'm in for. You don't know
I
what I'm in for,
understand.
but it's not going to be like a kill happens and you go, that wouldn't happen in real life. I demand a refund. You're not going to get like that.
Yeah, especially the end, especially at the end, and the whole, crescendo of you know, the big kills. They are some of the most creative, ridiculous kills that you will ever come across in a movie, but it fits the slasher genre so perfectly.
And like, as you said, it's a fun horror movie that you can watch with your friends and kind of like get the popcorn out and just like sit there and just like, ooh, like almost kind of like waiting for the next big kill. And the eventness, I love the fact that they use utensils and things from the Thanksgiving, making anything to do with the Thanksgiving dinner and stuff like that. Like the two that, again, try not to give too much spoilers, but the two that kind of freaked me out the most, one was the freezer. That scent, like, literally made me skin crawl. And just, like, the corn thing, little things that are put on the end of the corn. Like, again, for someone who has issues with their ears, because I've always got it, like, I don't know why, the fact of having something pressed in and, that's the kind of noises I was making during the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's too close to home for me. I'm very deaf because of something I did with my ears and that, and very same to that. What was I going to say? The actual look of the killer is just chef's kiss. If you are looking for horror icon, you've got it right there. We are getting Thanksgiving 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yep. I was going to say, but I mean, I don't know why people didn't take to John Adams as as they took to Mr. Bean, the evil clown, the Terrifier.
Right.
Yeah.
He is Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you ever watch the Terrifier, it's Mr. Bean dressed as a clown or a mime, depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mr. Bean. He is the Mr. Bean of horror, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got something quite sophisticated with John Adams.
Yeah.
It's thought through. It's got a backstory. It's,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not shitting on Terrifier, because in their own rights, they are ridiculous films that have their place in horror. Yeah. And we will get there one day. It's just, it's being done to death at the moment. So we're just going to find it. But
at some point,
you know, when you've got something as sophisticated and as well thought out as having like a Thanksgiving theme with the, you know, the main patriarch of the town, and you know, it's like they're using that as like a way of keeping everybody in line, firstly, and then they use it as the reason why you should behave again. It's like there's many reasons, psychological things behind this that people don't really pay attention to with Eli's stuff, like cabin fever. He did Hostel, didn't he?
Yes.
So you look at his back catalogue and you know where you're gonna, you know what you think you're gonna get. But this, for me, was more of a well-rounded story.
It had
more thought and more
more to creative.
I mean, whilst I know Hostels are fantastic, they have I honestly, for all the things that people say about Hostel being like gore porn and all stuff like that, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. But that's a benchmark that no one else touched. And he went out and above and beyond to push that envelope. Whether it needed pushing or not, doesn't matter. We have it now, you know, and we have three of them. And they are some of the most viscerally, amazingly disgusting films. But yeah, Cabin Fever in its own right as well had that whole kind of thing with
shaving the leg. Oh,
yeah, honestly, so gross. So with those aspects, and like, obviously I can't talk about the Green Inferno without referring to cannibalism for Sammy, so I'm trying to avoid that one. But, he does do genre films really, really well.
Yeah.
I think for me, him stepping into doing this film brought a different outlook.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a risk for him as well, because like, if you think of him, because he's done Hostel, which is one of the like birthed, arguably birthed torture porn, in a whole different way. Even though it's more complex than that, that's where the kind of the phrasing started coming from. But going through to a slasher genre, it kind of puts that added pressure on him as a director as well, because the expectation is he's going to go balls to the wall, but
it's going to be something completely different.
Yeah, and it wasn't what people were expecting. It was, as I said, it was more subtle, more clever. There was a lot more humour in it than people were expecting. Like, And the opening scene for the Black Friday is just brilliantly done. It again, it fills you with like that kind of terror when you're stuck in a crowd and things start kicking off, because like people who's been to football matches or been stuck in like queues, like anything like that. It's just
we would never fight like that over a waffle iron.
I've seen people in Asda fight over a TV. So,
have you ever seen anything like that happening? We're too civilized. We queue. If someone pushes in front of us, we tut loudly. Like, people start rushing and breaking down walls and ripping people's heads off. And you know, yes, okay, in a situation where you have a massive disaster in a confined space, then shit happens. But we don't purposely run into a place for a $10 waffle iron. No, start carding.
Honestly, all you would hear if it happened in Britain is just, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, we say sorry quite a bit. Yeah. Do you think Eli has done this so well because he understands every genre of horror? We've all watched his TV show. Mm-hmm. We all know where his in-depth knowledge is when it comes to horror. Do you think it works because of that?
Yes. He studies the game. Like, he's not one person who sticks on a one-trick pony. He takes risks. And again, people who just paint him like as a picture in one different thing don't really get it.
I didn't even know he was a director. He was always a Tarantino actor. Mm-hmm. That's how I knew him, you know, Inglourious Basterds and Death Proof. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's been in others that I just cannot think off the top of my head. But I didn't think of him as a director until I started watching his TV show. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't just understand it, he learns as well. Mm-hmm. When he's sitting down having conversations with like the likes of Jordan Peele, Rob Zombie, and even Greg Nicotero, he's sitting there learning about each genre, and it's so breathtaking to watch, and it really pays off in this film. I give this movie so much love. Mm-hmm. I will champion this horror icon because it is iconic to look at. Mm-hmm. He definitely fits up there for me.
Definitely. And I think that would be a nice little segue for especially iconic or like especially effects and looks wise to move to the Evil Dead remake.
I watched this because it was on the back of Evil Dead Rise. So Evil Dead Rise was coming out, and you know, I was getting really hyped up, and I was like, yeah, let's get into Evil Dead. And I was like, you know, the one I haven't seen is the remake. So I literally watched the remake or reboot or however you want to call it a few hours before I went to go and see Evil Dead Rise.
Which and I think would have helped you massively.
Yeah.
Massively. It really, because you've got to think my Evil Dead, like Evil Dead 2 used to be my favourite movie of all time. So when I think of Evil Dead, I'm looking at Evil Dead 2. I'm looking at Army of Darkness. And then jumping into Evil Dead Rise, I would have been like, well, what the shit is this?
Yeah, this is not the same type of...
No, not at all. But to see the remake of it and see it done differently and to see to see all the comedy taken out, which is fine. I'm totally cool with it. To see all the comedy taken out and to see the Deadites in a completely different light, because let's be honest, we laugh our asses off at the, you know, the original Deadites. They are absolutely hilarious. I was going to say
the original one terrified me to the bit, like even the VHS cover used to scare me as a kid.
but as an adult, I'm looking at it and I'm not terrified by it, and I'm not like it's funny to me, and it brilliant makeup, I gotta say. So to see it done in a different serious tones was quite refreshing. I was very, my palate was very cleansed with this.
I love the idea of it as well, because normally, like these type of movies, it's like, oh, a group of kids go to the cabin to take drugs, to let off steam. It's kind of like they've done the opposite. They took her to the cabin to detox her, to kind of make her go cold turkey, get her out of like the wilderness, get her out of her environment. And like the hostility between them, these weren't the best buds. These were old friends that had grown apart. And like there's trauma between them, and that kind of like amped up the tension and the feeling between the crowd. So when things start getting messy, and God, did it get messy.
Yeah,
And the
in such a
effects,
good way, though.
and like the things they used and did in this movie was just like, it blew my mind. Like, I'm one of those, like, people say, oh, there's good Evil Dead movies, there's bad Evil Dead. There's not. There's just great. Like, it's any Evil Dead movie is a great one for the franchise, and it adds a different to the story.
Yeah.
I loved the look of the neck. I'm gonna butcher this one. The necrocom. Let's say it.
Necronomicon.
Yes, in this one as well, how it was
Did I
wrapped.
say it right?
You did. You absolutely
Oh,
smashed it.
yay! Yay!
I loved.
Pronunciation's not my strongest point.
No,
Watch an
but.
episode of Monsters, you will know.
But I absolutely loved the look of it and the feel of it, and like how it was a little bit more dangerous and felt scarier like than the
Yeah.
old like one with the face on, which was like, again, as you said, a bit more comedy. This one felt like raw and like it was bound by the flesh of a human being.
Yeah, this one felt like, Ed Gein had gotten a hold of it and made a book, and this is the end result of it.
I must admit, I did struggle with the whole idea because,
Right?
not because I'm a gatekeeper, and I want to make that very clear. When I'm one of these people, I like new things. I think we tend to, as a society, get very stuck in the whole idea of taking something that's nostalgic, and we must recreate the nostalgia. So we take something we all think of that's like holds a dear place, and they try and do a better job, but they shouldn't sometimes. Majority of the time, sorry, I should say they shouldn't. So I sat there and I was like, I don't want to watch this. It came out in the cinema. Wouldn't have anything to
I get that.
I was not because, again, not because I thought it was going to be a remake of exactly what happened to Bruce and Linda and everybody. It wasn't that. It was, I think, when it becomes so serious, there's a level of, do you want to put yourself through a serious movie, or do you want to just enjoy the ride? And when it has all the serious undertones of, oh, there's a drug addict and she's going through withdrawals and all of her friends are there, and you're like, whoa, that's kind of heavy. Why can't they just be
That's
friends that go on
deep.
holiday? So you've got to be in a right frame of mind to go into a film sometimes, I think. However, I did watch it. I think I bought it on DVD, and then I sat down and I watched it. And I've tried to, I went in with the view of, right, come on now, we're not looking at it from anything to do with Bruce, anything to do with Sam, anything to do with Ted. No, push that aside and just watch it. And I actually really enjoyed it. I thought they did the ridiculous things that they managed to do in the originals, but in such a serious way that it worked. Like the things that Bruce does in the original. So ridiculously stupid, like cutting off his hand and stuff like that, and the way that they dealt with that happening to other characters and how they did it, and I thought was really clever. However, the one thing that they do not call the like the people that turn, they don't refer to them as deadites in these movies.
No.
Oh my gosh, I didn't pick up on that.
No, in the new Evil Dead and Evil Dead Rise, they do not refer to them as deadites.
No.
The guy that bought four read from the book, because he clearly, apparently, the only words he can read is Latin, because it's said to him in the book, do not read these words out loud.
Yeah,
And then what does he do? Read the
it's not
words out
that
loud.
loud.
Do you know who that was? Bruce himself. It's Brucey baby.
Yay.
Yeah, it was the one way to tie Bruce in without having Bruce in.
Bruce, I know
He's
Bruce
just,
was an executive producer on this.
yeah, he's always going to be a part of this franchise, and he champions it. Like the Evil Dead Rise like premieres, and they had like Q&As, and there were people like heckling him, and he was like, then what are you here for? Like, why are you here? And he really defends this franchise regardless of where it's gone, where it's, if it's going in, a different way. I love Evil Dead Rise is one of, if not one of my favorite Evil Dead movies, or just movies in general. I love that film. And this really helped me. This movie helps that love, because if I hadn't watched this and all I'm thinking of is Evil Dead 2, then it's not going to work for
No,
me.
it's very much a like a bridge in. But is Evil Dead, because I know this is a reboot. Evil Dead Rise. This is where I was a bit confused. Is Evil Dead Rise an actual sequel to this one? Because they use the same logo, like the actual font and stuff like that.
I thought it was standalone myself, like
standalone, but it's same universe. Right. So the Deadites, well, I know they're not called Deadites in this movie, but it's the
only didn't know that.
The Deadites are from the same place, hence why they look very similar to the reboot Deadites. There's a continuous theme that it's a universe in which this happens.
Right.
But we're not talking about like 15 planets in the universe. I just think they mean it's the same kind of like world. And the possibility is that this could happen to anybody at any place where the book is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So hence why the look of them is very similar to the look in the first, the 2013 Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And Evil Dead Rise are very, very similar. And then the new one's coming out soon as well, I think.
Yes.
Evil Dead Burn or Burns, isn't it?
Burns, yeah. I've seen a lot of fan art of what people would like to see as the... Because, let's be honest, when it comes to the Evil Dead movies, the poster, the main image, that is quite iconic as well.
And the marketing campaign for this movie as well.
Yeah.
Like using the reds and the colours.
It's beautiful.
And just having stuff like the silhouettes, like all the silhouettes was used was just... It kind of like drew you in. You're thinking, is this going to be... no cat to blame this time.
No, they've got no cats for me today.
But yeah, it's one of those movies that like it's a horror movie that makes you feel uncomfortable because of how horrible it is. But as Dan said, it's not an enjoyable watch. There's no like funny bits. There's no laugh. Like you can't imagine yourself in that scenario. Think, oh, like
I don't want to imagine myself in that scenario.
The thing is, it is written very tongue-in-cheek with some of the things that the, and I go quote-unquote Deadites do say in the new one, because she comes out with some ridiculous stuff and I would laugh at it because it's so way out.
Yeah.
And it's like, probably people don't find that funny.
No.
But I find it funny because I understand that it's a hark back to the original films.
Yeah.
And also because what they're trying to do is portray the difference between the original person inside and then the possession character. And if you watch possession movies, you will understand that when you've had your body taken over by another entity or presence, it's going to be so far removed from the person you are on the exterior that they needed to show something so different. And by having it spew out vile things and ridiculous statements that end up just sounding funny to me.
Yeah.
Because they are so
I get that.
Jarring, I think.
Yeah.
I found it slightly funny in places, but then again, like I say, I'm someone who gets uncomfortable and tends to get the giggles at funerals and stuff. And it's not because I'm laughing at the situation. Mm. I'm just one of those people. I can't help it. It's not nerves. But
I'm not good with bad news. Yeah. So I tend to smile a lot.
Like, I think everyone handles things differently, but everyone's got different sense of humor, different things.
Yeah.
But there's no right way or wrong way to think. But again, something that would scare me might not scare Sammy. Something that would scare Sammy wouldn't scare Dan.
Well, I had to, because when Evil Dead Rise came out, I had to text Paul to see if there was any jump scares in it, because I actually went to the cinema to see it by myself. And I was like, if there's jump scares in, I need to know where they are, because I can't make myself look like a fool sitting on my own watching this.
Bless you. Well, you'll never be a fool. You're brave doing it by yourself as well. But interesting, though, that Dan mentioned possession and how people react to possessions.
I knew what I was doing. That segue...
Well, you laid it up and I just helped it along. So moving on to the final of the, well, not the final film we're going to talk about, the final of the four previews, shall we say, the mise en bouches, shall we say. See, I mean, not about with Phoebe too, well, that's why I'm getting all posh. So yes, the Pope's Exorcist.
That would have been a very different movie. Very different movie. I'm not going to lie, I was so looking forward to this film when and it had nothing. I really wouldn't go out of my way to watch a Russell Crowe movie. He's not kind of like someone who I'll go, oh, I've got to go and see the next Russell Crowe film. He is so unrecognizable in this film. He is not what I was expecting at all.
I was impressed with his accent. I'll give him his due. He did his accent really well on this movie.
I've got to say, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I love the fact that, because within possession movies, there's always the fine line of mental health versus actual possession. And in the first scene, it's like I go into it where they do actually see it, that it's mental health versus, the actual genuine idea of someone being possessed. I love that. I can't even remember the last time I heard, I think Exorcism of Emily Rose comes to mind. It's the first one that comes to mind. This movie is just, it's breathtaking.
I
Absolutely
love
breathtaking.
an exorcism movie. We've talked about this before when we had Zara on Monsters, because we did The Exorcist, obviously. And there's something about exorcism movies because they're sort of a toe dipped in reality to the extent of that there are exorcists within the Catholic Church. It is a valid position within the church. Therefore, it leads you to believe that they have performed many of an exorcism, which on record that we're allowed to see they have. So there's that whole could it happen to you? Doubtful, but you know what I mean? It could happen to you. How do you quantify the difference between mental health versus spiritual possession? And the beautiful thing about this film is I'm not entirely sure when it's set. I
No.
think 80s, 70s, 80s, could be 90s, could be modern day. It may say, but I don't remember specifically.
No.
I love the way that you don't have a clue.
No.
Yeah.
And I also love the way that it's you know exactly what you're going to get in the respect of possession happens, all hell breaks loose.
He comes in to save the day.
But that's not how this works.
No.
It is to a degree, obviously, but
Yeah.
I love the fact we get a little cameo from Mr. Ralph Ineson himself, who is the most fantastic voiced human on the planet.
Yes.
And he, obviously, Galactica.
Galactus.
That's the one. Every time I
She
get them,
got.
every time I call them Galacticus, Galacticae,
Big purple
Galactica.
dude from the sky.
Yeah, he likes to eat the world.
The guy from The Witch. He has a way, go on, say it. He has a way, he just has a way of being able to carry swear words that I don't think anyone else can get off
It's
with. The
that
way,
lower tone.
and I think the twist that this film has at the end as well is a testament to an Academy Award winner. Let's not remember Russell Crowe, he's won Academy Awards because of his acting. He pulls off the end scene is nothing but, well, I say the end scene, the main crescendo of the film is nothing but unexpected. And that guy, I mean, how do you method act being possessed? You can't.
No.
So for anyone in this movie that ended up possessed, it's like that's a hell of a task, especially for the cast that's involved in this as well and the age range that they are as well. I mean, testament to the actors in this film, massive.
Oh, 100%. It's amazing how Russell Crowe made this almost theatre. It's absolutely brilliant. Like I say, I will not go out of my way to go, oh, the next Russell Crowe movie, let's go and see that. However, if he's going to do movies of this nature, I'm in. He was really, I don't
See.
want to say convincing, he was just mesmerizing.
Yeah, and like the look, the feel, and the vibe for this movie was like it was great. I did get a bit confused last year when this came out because I remember watching this. There was two movies very much the same. There was this one, The
Oh,
Pope's
right.
Exorcist, which is like, I don't get us wrong, this film is good, like brilliant. The whole look and the feel. Then we got the chance to watch The Exorcism starring Squid. I thought it was going to be a sequel. I was thinking, oh, they've made a second so quickly after this came out. Don't watch that one. All I'm going to say. David Hyde Pierce is the highlight in that film. That's the only thing to say good about that.
This is far superior. I mean, the other one is good in its right for what it's trying to, what it was trying to be, and it was a new take on an exorcism movie for sure. But out of the two, this one wins hands down for not just the special effects, not just the psychological aspect, but the fact that you go on that roller coaster with Russell in this film. Whereas on the other one, you don't want to be on his roller coaster. No. You don't even want to be anywhere near that theme park with him.
I love the colours in this.
Yes.
The colour palette that's used.
Oh, beautiful.
Them earthy tones, them reds, them oranges. It's absolutely stunning. It really puts you in such a great place with this film.
I
do love it.
It's one of those ones where a film comes along, doesn't really have much hype or anything to kind of go, and you hear like a little bit of noise about it, and you go, okay, we'll give it a go. And it goes above any expectations you had, and it's just entertaining. Yeah. That's probably the thing. When it comes to horror movies, a lot of horror movies forget to be entertaining, and it gives you like the showpieces and kind of gives you the big thing. And as I said, the ending, it's fun. Put that way, like I say, it's what you want experience. But again, trying to not give too many spoilers away. And seeing Russell Crowe going about on a little Vespa on a scooter is fun to watch as well.
Just to watch him is an absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's something completely, like when I think of him, I'm thinking of Les Mis. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Gladiator. I'm thinking of, you know, these very, and it's brilliant that he manages to bring the, because I know he's not a theatre actor, but for some reason he just gives me that vibe, that thespian kind of vibe, and he really brings it, and it works for him, though. It really works in this movie. Mm-hmm. Honestly, go and watch it.
I will say the one thing that I am gutted about, and I will say to the powers that be, that if they ever do pick it up, I would still have loved to have seen Crowe do his Jekyll and Hyde in the Dark Universe.
Yeah. Oh.
He played, you know, as we saw in the Dark Universe Mummy that came out, Mission Impossible Mummy. When that we saw a glimpse, we had a taste of Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde kind of character sort of there, and it was like, ooh.
Mm.
And now he's been ripped away from us. And just feel like he would do an amazing job with that film because we haven't got that film. We haven't got many references to it. Oh, we got The League of Gentlemen, of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Not The League of Gentlemen, totally different.
totally different.
Are you local?
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with Sean Connery, obviously. Yeah. And we had the lovely Jason...
Isaacs.
Fleming? Fleming. Jason Fleming. Yes. Played Jekyll and Hyde, and I think that's the most recent one we had. There was a terrible CGI one in Van Helsing, but really we don't get much.
No, he's a universal monster himself, which he is. He doesn't get a lot of love and a lot of attention.
I would have paid good money to see that one. That would be one I'd be very, very interested in, as long as Ethan the Mummy Hawk, not Hawk, Mission Impossible dude,
That was a bit of a fumble, let's be honest. Like, that could have been so much, but so yes. Yeah, Pope's Exorcism, I would highly recommend.
Go
and watch it. It's on Amazon Prime now, I believe. Yeah, you can buy or rent it as well. Now, is it time to see if we've made it until dawn? But there, I'll just get it. Just turn that center. Yes. So just before we start, shameless plug. Just to say a big thank you to Sony Pictures for sending me this great gift box. So get the lid out because I kind of get the box up because it's that big. So yes, they asked us to talk about and highlight that. Well, celebrate Until Dawn being released to buy and rent at home. You can get it from, I think, Amazon Prime, Apple TV you can get it, and also Sky Store. But I'll be honest, when I got the box, I shit myself. I'll be honest, when I saw open it and saw this, I think it haunted me for that day. I was like, am I missing? Am I really here? Like, what's going to happen? But yeah, so this movie came out in the cinema last year, which I went to see at the pictures and then watched it again. Last year, wasn't it? Was it this year? It felt like last year.
It wasn't that long ago, was it?
The days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into years these days. Or was I just stuck in, like, say, this cycle of Until Dawn?
It was definitely this year. It hit the cinema screens in April. There we go, April 2025. Based off the very popular horror game Until Dawn, this is a live action version of it, which is a movie you don't need to play the video game in order to enjoy.
That's one thing. I didn't play the game. I know I've spoken to a few people have, like Lee. I was talking to Lee, loved the game, and he was telling us about, like, how the different endings change and different how you play through. So this was, like I say, a video game adaptation, which can be, like say one of those things where it can work well for you, or it could be a hindrance, depending on how it kind of plays out. It did have a very big movie feel, and I know from, like, sending messages to each other when we were watching the film, this felt like a bit of a throwback as well. Like, I know, like, for me, it felt like very much like House on Haunted Hill vibe.
Dark Castle.
Like, very Dark Castle site.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah, did I get it right?
Yeah. Love the idea. The premise is such a good idea. Being trapped in a continuous cycle. And again, we're trying not to give too many spoilers, where each time, almost like Groundhog Day or like the episode of Supernatural, like when you hear the song, Free of the Moment.
The moment. Yeah, I love that episode.
Where, like, a lot of the different premises, but this time it's slightly different. You try and change the perception, but different monsters, different beings, different entities kind of come at you, like, at different times. There is some bits where you're, like, absolutely laughing out loud, like the bathroom scene. Again, not to go into it too much, is one of the most unexpected things to happen in the movie, where you're watching, you're just kind of like, wow.
yeah, the movie itself is a very fresh cast, very fresh and young cast, apart from the fabulous, I cannot say his surname, I will have to look it up. Peter Stormare. Absolutely. I love, my god, this man can do no wrong in my eyes.
He is the devil and will always be the best devil person. He is the best actor to have ever played the devil in all of cinema history to me. It takes some doing to beat his version of the devil in Constantine for me. This guy is, if I'm wrong, I don't think I am, it's either, I think he's Swedish, but he is known for playing Russian and Eastern Europe.
Yes! Oh my gosh, is he not? Yeah, he is Swedish and he's... Yeah. Wow, okay. Did not know that. He'll always be the guy from Prison Break.
See, for me, he was also in
Fargo.
American Gods. He brought something new to this film for me, because you get your gaggle of teenage ne'er-do-wells / gang of kids going to find themselves or... going on, you know. And I will say, the way that it was done in this film, I didn't expect there to be a secondary reveal of the character. I know technically in tropes you're introduced to a character at the beginning and they come back and you're like, coming, but I genuinely didn't see it coming in this one. I feel like there's so many deaths, there's no way we could talk you through every single one anyway if we were to do a breakdown of this film, because it happens so much and there's so many. But I will say, one of the fantastic aspects of this film is that you see it taking a toll on the cast.
I love that element to it.
Through every cycle you can see the special effects makeup getting better and better and better, and they're looking more and more withdrawn and more and more wary. And obviously if you've played the game you'll know what happens, but it's I enjoyed that aspect. I like looking at, like, if you watch Monsters, you guys will know that me and Sammy like to go into like the makeup and the special effects and things like that. So that was kind of where my mind was going during this. But it wasn't so much concentrating on the plot, because it wasn't a difficult plot to sort of get your head around.
No.
You understood that it was a recycling Groundhog Day situation, so you didn't really have to think more than past that. So, So from that perspective, I would definitely say the amount of special effects work on this, if it was practical, was superb.
Yeah.
The makeup on it, when there's a scene, and I'm not spoiling anything, this is in the trailer, with
the worm
thing coming out of her cheek. That is gruesome.
Yeah.
That is absolutely gruesome. And the reveal from the side of her face is just, but that is it, the makeup work on that is just, it's perfect. It's too perfect. And like Dan said, the makeup in this was just absolutely phenomenal. The cast, as much as it's a young cast, unfortunately is not, they're not, because it's not my age group, I don't quite get them enough, but there was one in particular who I was really drawn to, and it was the girl with the big hair.
Okay.
I think for some reason she was called Nina. Yeah, there was something about her that I was like, I like your attitude. Yeah, I like your attitude. There was one moment in there where she made a decision that I don't know if I could have made. And I was like, oh, I respect you. The main actress was cute. There's no other way to describe her. She was cutesy. Her ex-boyfriend, he did Max. Get on my nerves a little. He did get on my nerves a little bit. His little puppy dog routine thing, but hey.
I think that was intentional. But one of the standouts in, as you said, Megan, the young lass who had psychic, when she was trying to say that she had psychic powers, in her transitions or transformation throughout, that was like the most noticeable. And with the explaining that it's in, it affects her the most. That was interesting to watch and interesting. But I love the way they used like modern technology as well in the horror movie, like rather than just like, oh, what's happened to us all, like thing. It's like, oh, they use the mobile phone and go through videos that's been recorded of the time that they've spent there as well. Because again, they're trying to work out, because everything kind of gets reset. So they're trying to work out what doesn't, how thing, the notice that the
guest. I'm not going to lie, that was probably one of my favourite bits of the film. Sorry to cut you off there. I forgot, was the moment with the mobile phone. That's the bit where I'm sitting there going, I don't want to be a part of this right now. I don't want to see what's going on. This is like hangover stuff. I don't want to see what's going on here. I really enjoyed that aspect of it, especially with the mobile phone part of it. This movie it's clean. The plot is clean. It's not overcomplicating something that could potentially be overcomplicated. It's giving you a very clean version of it, which I appreciate. I am not the brightest of people, so you know, if I've watched a movie once, I might as well have not have watched it. But with this, I can genuinely remember it, which is a good sign.
Again, I know I ask this question quite a lot on a few of the things we've talked about. This, again, I think this works as a movie. Do you think it would have worked a lot more in a TV show?
Yeah. This is the one time I'm going to actually agree with you on this. Because normally we don't see eye to eye with TV show ideas. Yes, I do. I think this could have been spread out, spaced out. Each day could have been, I'm not saying do with, 13 episodes, but... you know, it could have been stretched out a bit to where these were, and given more to what's going on in the background as well.
Yeah, that's one thing I thought was missing, because the town looked quite interesting, looked grimy, it looked like spooky, and that looked scary when they looked out the window and you saw the town had grown. Sorry, not too many spoilers, but things happen. But when the town grows, that I wanted to explore. That was my first thought. I was going to go outside and see that.
Is that not the gamer in you? Where you're like, oh, what's going on here? To be honest, off the back of this, I actually have gone and bought the game. Because I did go and I wanted to have a look to see with a story very similar. And what I did find is, and this is, I don't think this is a spoiler, and we talked about it before, so I'm just going to mention it, is the fact that they do actually use parts of the video game in here. Is what the, if you don't know the video game, or you do, Rami Malek is the main star, and they're, it, they all, it's all motion capture, so it is Rami Malek's face, and you do get to see a little little image of him in this movie, and I thought that was such a great, very subtle, but a very subtle one. So yeah, I've actually gone and bought the game off the back of seeing this movie, because it's so intriguing, and it's so like, I get to make the decisions. Let's see how many times I die.
See if you can make it to 13. So see if you can make it until dawn.
No, probably not.
I think a good idea for this film would be, you know, at one point, Charlie Brooker with the Black Mirror thing did the Bandersnatch, and he made it a choose your own adventure.
Right. Interesting.
I think there's the ability to apply something very similar to this moving forward. I think, you know, with the Charlie Brooker Black Mirror thing and the Will Poulter, you know, they filmed so many alternatives, and all you had to do was press the button on your remote and you went down one way. I mean, okay, you had limited ones. It was like a choose your adventure from the 80s. So turn to page 7, turn to page 2. You know, and with this, I feel like this has got an ability for them to be able to possibly apply that in a buy now or rent situation, because you could give the audience the ability. The end is still going to be the same, and the beginning is the same, but the way you get there, I feel like you can have like the ability to mix up the ways that they die, or how, you know, which deaths you see at what point, things like that. And I just think that, not that they've missed a trick, because they could still do that like a sequel slash another version of the film that they do at some point, because when you see the size of the map that they do get out on the table, that is a huge area. We are talking Silent Hill, we are talking the gameplay map. So if you play the game, you know it's big, and it gets bigger.
This brings a bit more interaction with like the audience as well.
So I feel like that could be an option, knowing that this film has the ability to be able to utilize the gamers that are in the majority of the audience that come to this film, because obviously being a gameplay, you know, gameplay, you want, you'll come and see the movie because you've played the game. So helping the game players, the gamers, be a little bit more interactive and have a choice, I think would be an idea moving forward for them. I mean, not that anyone's really going to listen to a little old girl on a podcast, but still, I do feel like there's a possibility for that, you know, for buy now purposes or rent purposes, or even if there's a way that they could do it in the cinema, you know, like poll in the cinema with your phones, and they'll show you the death or something like that. I think
that sounds so much fun.
Definitely. I like that element, though. It just brings a bit more, like, as you said, it brings the audience into it as well. And with this movie, kind of, what, like, it kind of feels like it wants that interaction. That's, I think so. But yes, I quite like that. And so, yeah, but I would recommend watching this movie, especially, like, say, it's a popcorn movie, I would say. Like, definitely Friday night, Saturday night, chilling in the house. Like say, a few drinks, a few popcorns, pull up a blanket, pull up a pillow, and just get a little bit scared.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can do that on the 10th of June in your own home.
Yes, by buying or renting the movie now. So again, thank you for Sony for inviting us on this challenge. Hope we've lived up to the challenge. I know the Nerdy Up North podcast won't be back for a few weeks, but Monsters will be back. So when this goes out, you will be doing what?
Not telling you.
Oh, it's a surprise. Oh, yeah.
I can't remember, actually.
Hang on. This goes out Friday 13th.
Yeah. Yes. So Monday is...
We will be doing on Monday, and it would have been announced by then, Repo the Genetic Opera.
Yes. Little glass vial.
That I can't remember. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I was just trying to think timeline. My brain.
Yeah, me too. And it's like, oh, we're dealing time travel again.
Yeah. But thank you for everyone who's watched. And like I say, please like and subscribe. Like I say, you can find our stuff on the Nerdy Up North YouTube channel. We've set up on Apple now where if you type in Nerdy Up North, it'll find all the different shows and everything that is linked to us now. So Monsters, yeah, of Women little, of Nerd Culture. I'm not talking about the other ones because them are crazy.
But if you do search, you will find a little group and we're all in there. But if you don't use Apple, we're not anywhere you get your podcast from.
Yes.
And if you remember to like, share and subscribe, hit the notification bell so you don't miss any episodes. Just saying.
Yes. So how are we going to end this? Because like I say, it's a bit of a mismatch. So...
Okay, I will ask the question then. Out of the four films, excluding Until Dawn, because we can't...
That's in its own.
Out of the four, Evil Dead, Don't Breathe, Pope's Exorcist and Thanksgiving, which would you say was the standout movie for you?
Okay. I'm going to go with Thanksgiving. Just it was the one that I had the most fun with.
Pope's Exorcist. Yeah, it was between Thanksgiving and Pope's Exorcist, and that's nothing against the other two. Mm-hmm. It's just them two are the ones I thoroughly enjoyed the most, and the Pope's Exorcist, first thing that came out of my mouth. Go on then, Dan.
It's the same, Pope's Exorcist. I think out of all of them, obviously, Evil Dead, not that we've seen before, but we know the premise, we know that. Don't Breathe, like again, it's about human monsters, and it's a home invasion film, so you know where you are with that. Thanksgiving is your traditional slasher done in a more updated way. You could say that about the Pope's Exorcist being a, you know, an exorcism movie redone, but there's just something different about it, and the fact that it's Russell Crowe and it's so unexpected with him doing such an amazing job. I would have to say that's the standout for me.
Cool. So it's the Monster Girls teaming up against us. I'll take that though. That's fine. So we're going to have to, and then that matches all three together. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. You do mine. Bye.
Bye.
Stay spooky, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye, little ones.